Welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. It's a fine Saturday in April. It's about the middle of April, I think. Everything's very springy. Very warm, sunny. Which is pretty welcome because it's been utterly miserable and I've sort of been getting cabin fever and suffering from various viruses and things and just great to get out and feel the sun on your body, sinking into your bones. Anyway, the ducks have got the same idea. And it's good to be alive when the sun comes out. Anyway, as you know, every now and then I will pass some bloke in the pub commentary about some current affairs. They have to be sort of fairly big to rouse me, I'm afraid. But I have commented in the past on Brexit and the election of Donald Trump and a few things of that type. Well, I think I commented on the goings-on in Turkey, which led to the Erdogan caliphate. So, this morning I woke up to the news that the United States, the United Kingdom and France had bombed Syria, and allegedly the targets of the bombing were sites to do with the production, storage and so forth of chemical warfare agents, nerve gas and chlorine, this kind of thing. And there had allegedly been recently a gas attack in a Syrian city, and the West, you might say, or the Trump administration blamed the Assad regime, which is the government that's been fighting a civil war for the last, I think, 7 years, against various factions, and which is backed by Russia and Iran. Anyway, there was an alleged gas attack in a Syrian city, and some lurid pictures of children choking to death and as a result of this attack. Assad denied it, and his Russian friends also said that it was a false flag. Now, prior to this, Donald Trump had said that he would back the United States forces away from Syria. That he was, what forces are there would be taken out, and that the USA would wash its hands of it. And we should remember that Trump was elected on a mandate, a part of which was that America would engage in fewer military adventures and would stop trying to be the world police. This is quite popular with the natural Trump followers, you might say. Quite apart from the cost and the bodies coming home and so forth. And as I say, recently he'd kind of reinforced that idea by announcing that the USA would pull out of Syria and pull away from that conflict. However, after the gas attack, and bearing in mind that Trump personnel, White House personnel, White House staff, changed very rapidly, and he's now got very hawkish people in his cabinet, well, he changed his mind vis-a-vis the gas attack, and said that there would be some reprisal and some some attempt to take out Syria's alleged capability. Now, of course, it was pretty obvious that Trump would seek allies, because this legitimates an attack. And Trump did take out a Syrian airfield, or attempt to, with cruise missiles. I can't remember exactly, like a year ago or something like that. And the British Parliament had a vote on whether to join in or not, because there had been a request from the US for the UK to join in, and for the purposes of legitimating what they were doing. Bear in mind that the UK has only got a minuscule amount of military force at its disposal compared with the US. So these allied offensives around the world are more to do with justifying and legitimating the USA's actions than in any military logic. The USA's got force enough to do all this stuff. Anyway, the British Parliament on that occasion said no, so Trump went it alone. Now, this time, we woke up this morning and the British Prime Minister, with the backing of the Cabinet, had taken a decision that the UK would join in this military strike without recourse to Parliament. And Parliament actually is in recess. I think it comes back on Monday, since it's Easter recess. But the Prime Minister does have the clout to recall Parliament from the vacations. But in this case, there was no consultation with Parliament. Now, we should bear in mind that the May government, Conservative government, it's a minority government. It only manages to stay in power with the aid of the DUP, these kind of troglodytes from Ulster, who are, well, they look very kind of antediluvian. They kind of tend to be fundamentalist Christian, creationist. Oh, no, they were very, you know, conservative, small c. And it's through a deal between the DUP and the Conservative Party that there is in fact like this minority government. So we've got a minority government taking the country to war, basically, at the behest of a completely crackpot American president, without any parliamentary debate. So, one would question the legitimacy of this. So, this was all kind of afoot yesterday. It hadn't happened. It happened in the early hours of the morning. I think it might have happened at 2 a.m. our time. So, yesterday I tweeted the Prime Minister. Not expecting it to do any good, of course, or even get read or anything like that. But sometimes you just have to do something to feel better. And I said, democracy. Dear Prime Minister, democracy? Invoking the royal prerogative displays the closet feudalism at the heart of the British state. And of course, this is what they do in this situation. They say, we invoke the royal prerogative. So the Prime Minister acts on behalf of the Queen. And it kind of reveals the true nature of the UK state, you know, and that its democracy is completely notional. We have an unelected second chamber. Okay, there are fewer hereditary members than there used to be, but there are kind of bishops of the established church in there, and the great and the good can get appointed. Well, okay, that's better than it used to be, because it was a completely hereditary chamber until fairly recently. We've got things like the Privy Council, which passes laws without recourse to Parliament on a monthly basis. in the presence of the Queen, who assents to these various things. They're mostly innocuous, they're to do with stuff going on in the Channel Islands and stuff like this. But technically, there it is, a method of passing laws without Parliament. Royal charters, chartered institutes and all of these things, which have enormous power. It's very hard to bring into any kind of democratic account. They do what they want, basically. And I know this from dealing with Sport England with respect to yoga. They're just imperious. Because, basically, they've got the say-so of the Queen. You know, and it strikes me, you know, that they're a feudal remnants which serve the British corporate state and corporate state power very, very well. We kind of think they're anachronisms. And they get played down as to do with spectacle and so forth, royal weddings and all the rest of the bread and circuses. But actually, it's more insidious than that. And I suppose that's our dark state, you know, or our deep state, or our dark government, is the feudal remnant and the networking that sits underneath it. So there's that. And anyway, one wakes up this morning and they've done it, you know, the cruise missile scenario. I'm presuming the Americans sent cruise missiles off battleships they've got in the Mediterranean. The UK sent 4 Tornado jets and launched 4 missiles. Not cruise missiles, but I forget what they're called. Well, I took off from Cyprus, and these missiles got range of 300 miles, so they didn't have to fly into Syrian airspace. And just let them off, turn around, come back. Now, the Russians are saying that most of these things were shot down. I mean, who knows? Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. I mean, a lot of this stuff, it's symbolic. And, you know, it's very difficult for us to find out, especially as the media are really not doing a proper job. They're a propaganda wing, the mainstream media, including the BBC. So, I mean, while all this is warming up, there's a lot of sabre-rattling between the Americans and the Russians. Because the Russians have got a lot of people and a lot of equipment on the ground in Syria. They've been supporting Assad against his rebels. And they're saying if any of their people get hit, that they will retaliate. And there's a lot of cyber-rattling. I don't think there's a lot of FUD being stirred up to frighten people. And the gutter press has got World War III slapped all over the headlines and all the rest of it. And it's a right mess, basically. But from this UK perspective, I mean, my thing would be to say The lack of democracy. Parliament should be consulted. This royal prerogative nonsense needs to be rolled back. And we need to have a modern democracy instead of this kind of hypocritical pretend democracy. Number one. And number two, and this is what I found today. So I did a rare excursion onto Twitter to see if there's a Twitter storm about this, and indeed there is. Most people are outraged and say, look, a common reason given is lack of democracy. Another reason is just how much this kind of thing costs. These missiles are nearly £1 million apiece, I don't know, £800,000 apiece. It costs an absolute fortune to get one of these tornadoes and keep it in the air. It's tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of pounds an hour just to keep the thing up there. And people are tweeting about, you know, cuts to the NHS, homeless people, food banks. And there's a lot of poverty in the UK. And it is socially pretty well in a mess, I would say. And austerity. Everybody's sick of it. Nobody's had a pay rise forever. The government bullies pensioners, as I know, to my own cost. and people have to claim benefits and all this kind of stuff. They're a right pack of bullies, you know, and the little Hitlers are having a field day, working as minor civil servants. And there's a culture of persecution of the poor in order to divert attention. And you know, there's this kind of notion, old Victorian notions of the undeserving poor, as opposed to the deserving poor. It's kind of been remarshalled by the powers that be. I mean, there's a lot that's really shitty going on, and people are saying, well, I've got the money for this, but they haven't got the money for looking after old people, or for having proper health care for people, and all this kind of stuff. So that's a very common reason that's given. I find it interesting that they're saying that what this is about is that the Syrians have crossed the red line with the use of chemical weapons, because there is a worldwide international law, one of the laws of war, that you can't use these things. And the argument is that they can't, states that do so must be punished because they've crossed the red line. And okay, there's no such similar law about the use of high explosives, but they're kind of high explosives have been responsible for the deaths of millions and millions of people over, say, the last 10 years. Iraq, Afghanistan, the whole kind of Middle East mess has cost millions of lives and disrupted millions more. I mean, Syria, the Syrian people have just suffered appallingly, and there have been huge deaths as a result of this civil war, which has become a kind of proxy war for superpowers and regional powers. So it seems to me that there's an argument to say, well, gas is not okay, but high explosives are okay. Bear in mind that the British state, or the British corporate state, sells arms to dictators in the billions. I mean, arms sold to Saudi Arabia have been used to pretty well wage a genocidal war in Yemen. And Saudi pilots dropping bombs on Yemeni civilians have been trained by the RAF. But nothing said about that. That's kind of okay, because it's high explosives. It's not poison gas, it's high explosives. And there's enormous hypocrisy around that. The Minister of War, one Gavin Williamson, came on the radio this morning, and his excuse was that, well, it's the right thing to do. Well, of course, you can excuse anything by saying it's the right thing to do, which of course means that that statement can legitimate absolutely nothing. But the logic escapes the man, and he's a Minister of State. I mean, this makes me really despair, is the just kind of lack of basic logic, as well as lack of basic human feeling and basic decency in people who will power over our lives. It's just the horror of the situation. An even bigger horror is that the clever dick interviewing him on Radio 4 there in the morning news programme doesn't pull him up on it. Just draw his attention to the absolute meaningless nature of the statement. Let it go, and it kind of does its rhetorical and ideological work. Absolutely disgusting, I was nearly sick. So it seems like the media, I certainly think that the BBC are pumping this, you know. They kind of go through the motions of giving ministers a bit of a hard time with these sort of quasi-awkward questions. But the really awkward questions, the really glaring lacks of logic, the really glaring lacks of human feeling, are simply let slide by. And I think this is what you call managed opposition, you know. So the BBC can look like it's a proper medium of record, but it fucking isn't. It's a propaganda machine for the death machine, which is the British state. So, I mean, people are saying as well, yes, that there's no proof. The intelligence is, what is the intelligence even, that says that it really was Assad that it really was poison gas. And there's an international agency that inspects sites of alleged gas attacks and tries to keep tabs on the problem of chemical warfare agents. And I forget the name of this agency, it's one of those acronyms. But they're due to go into Syria today to check up and to get the facts. But the coalition of the great and the good, Donald Trump, Theresa May and the French idiot, bombed it last night. So it's almost like destroy the evidence, you know. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a false flag. I know people who cry false flag are often deemed to be conspiracy nuts. But, you know, this incredibly lengthy war in Iraq, which it really took a million lives, was launched on the basis that Saddam Hussein had got weapons of mass destruction. None were found. Yeah. And Tony Blair will be labelled a war criminal by people who were disgusted by that train of events for the rest of history. So there we have this kind of paradigm case of a conflagration being unleashed on the world, an absolutely catastrophic and violent war on the basis of an untruth, on bad intelligence, or on maybe just false flag, or just a manufactured excuse. And so people are rightfully suspicious that something like that might be going on here. Either way, there's no proof. You know, so on a rumour, abandoning democracy, appealing to the feudal nonsense at the heart of the ridiculous British state, spending money that can be ill-afforded. Our Prime Minister, in her wisdom, took a decision to get embroiled in Trump's madness. And there weren't very many people on Twitter saying positive things, and there are various polls and things going on. It looks like about only 22% of people support the action. And I don't know, 40-50% against, with some don't-knows, obviously. So there isn't really any kind of a mandate to do this thing. And I think the fact that it was Trump, you know, that May seems like Trump's poodle, I think just isn't going to go down well. For myself, I'm furious and disgusted. And I'm sick of the government anyway, for personal reasons. They're kind of making my life hard at the moment with their kind of petty fucking Gestapo treatment. And I don't know. I think a revolution's in order, to be honest with you. It really is. But there you go. What is particularly suspicious that gives some weight to the false flag suspicion is the fact that Assad, President Assad of Syria, it looks like he's on the verge of winning. The people fighting him, ISIS and so forth, pretty much on the retreat. They're being kind of battered from every side. And it looks as though the end's in sight and that he will win. Of course, he's got this support from Russia and Iran. Very substantive support. And that only recently Trump is saying he's not going to interfere in Syria. It seems very strange that he would then jeopardise that advantage by doing something as stupid as launching a gas attack. So, is he really that stupid? I think that he's that kind of weighs powerfully, and at least, at the very least, calls for the gathering of evidence. I mean, there are other complications in this, in that Russia blocks any kind of moves to sort things out in Syria at the United Nations Security Council, and they've done this repeatedly, which is a complication. It's complicated, the whole kind of situation, trying to understand, it's complicated by the fact that the CIA had a covert operation at the beginning of the Syria uprising, which started out as some kind of part of the Arab Spring. And people were fed up with Assad. He's a dictator. It's not pleasant. It's not a pleasant regime. And they wanted more democracy instead of this hereditary oligarchy or dictatorship. And there was the street demos and all the rest of it that had swept across the Arab world, and starting in Tunisia and the whole drama of Tahrir Square and so on. And that the CIA got involved with a view to effecting regime change. I forget the name of the operation, but it's well documented. It really is well documented by now. And there are whistleblowers. And I think we can reliably assert that the CIA, directed by President Obama, really got this thing going and caused it to get inflamed. So the mess is of their making, ultimately. It does seem to me that it is very, very dangerous with this cyber rattling, even though I think there's some kind of stuff going on behind the scenes as well. And then, but the language used on both sides, particularly between Russia and the US, is very inflammatory, with Donald Trump tweeting about how the missiles are coming and all this kind of stuff. Totally infantile stuff. Bearing in mind that these nations have stockpiles of thousands and thousands of nuclear warheads, each capable of taking out major cities. It is dangerous. Now, I do kind of suspect that that there's at least part of what's going on is to create a spectacle to deflect everybody, in fact to make everybody frightened and agitated, and therefore less likely to organise, because there is serious dissatisfaction. All right. All across the Western world, particularly in the UK. Huge uncertainty in the UK because of Brexit, and across the US, with the what really is the slow decline of the American empire. Long way to go yet. It's still enormously more wealthy and powerful than the next upcoming rival. People talk about China, but they've got a long, long way to go. Long way to go. But nevertheless, it's on the decline. And the result, there's a lot of despair internally with the exporting of jobs to cheaper labour markets, which is a part of the necessities of capitalism. It's American capital that's doing this, mostly, or largely. And there is despair. And I would say verging on uprising in many of the so-called developed and advanced countries. And so, just frightening everybody, agitating everybody, makes resistance less likely, organised resistance less likely. It's hard to organise anything when you're agitated. So I suspect there's some kind of crap going down like that. It seems that there are back channels between the Kremlin and the White House, whereby the Russians are being told where the missiles are going to land so they can get their people out. Because they're... Because in order to keep face, the Russians have to say, well, if any of our people get killed, we'll retaliate. I mean, what would that mean? Would they fire missiles at American warships in the Mediterranean? Would they bomb the RAF base in Cyprus? What would they do? But I mean, of course, it would be an incredible pickle. A lot of people would die and a lot of money would be wasted and the world would be set back a long way, just when it's getting its shit together in some ways as well. So, I'm not a happy bunny about this. I suppose it's all a bit armchair warrior-ish, you know. What can you do? You fire off some tweets to parliamentarians. I just hope that if millions of people do it, they might feel the pressure a little bit. I'm certainly going to get in touch with my MP this afternoon and see where she stands on this. But it seems to me that all the good reasons are on the side of basically getting rid of the Prime Minister and the Tory government for what they've done. I think it verges on war crime. It's certainly anti-democratic. And I really hope they've shot themselves in the foot. And this isn't Theresa May's Falklands factor. Because it's a weird thing. But if you're kind of doing badly in the polls and you want to win the next election, start a war, wonders for Margaret Thatcher. This time I don't think it's going to work from what I'm seeing out there. Of course, one doesn't know quite the significance of all the anti-Syria strike Twitter storm. I mean, who knows? You know, there are certain kind of bubble aspects to listening to social media and online news, certain silo effects and so forth. And you do have to really exercise a lot of care with your research and so forth. But pretty well everything I've said to you here, I'm fairly sure of it. And I think where there's equivocation, I've hopefully indicated that. I mean, but just on the democracy call, they should be fucked now. They should be dragged out of number 10 Downing Street, to be honest with you. It's utterly disgusting. Anyway, that's one of the occasional current affairs jobbies from me. I know I've been a bit quiet lately. I did have a flurry of activity a few weeks ago and I was putting out podcasts about one every 3 days or something for a couple of weeks. I have got some stuff in the can, but I do need to do some editing. I'm having to deal with this kind of Gestapo government shit. I have had a sort of a virus which kind of pretty well took my energy, I have to say. Plus, I suppose we've got the run-up now to the Future of Yoga conference, which is a week today in Wolverhampton, which I'm kind of looking forward to, because they're certainly popping out the woodwork, some of the elders of the UK yoga community, and it'll be interesting at the very least. I imagine it'll be quite feisty and fierce, you know, because I think there are some very different viewpoints about how people want things to go. But that's okay. It will have the virtue of laying everything bare, of bringing stuff into the open. Because it strikes me that there's just such a lot that's subterranean within this disparate, diverse and fractious community. So just that, I mean, that was my hope for the thing. Let's just get some stuff out into the open. Let's just be able to map the various viewpoints, the various underpinnings, the various approaches. So we've got it before us, at least to some extent, and I think we can do that, and I think we will do that. So that's kind of been focusing my mind as well. But I say, I've got some podcasts. We've had Lout to 12 in the can for a couple of weeks, but it does need an edit. Those ones, I always do those with Anna, and we sometimes will discuss a point sort of informally in the middle, and then give it out in its more formal style without turning the recorder off. So we need to kind of just chop it up a little bit to get the flow. It's a good one, I believe, so I'm going to try and get that out soon, today, tomorrow perhaps. And I've got some others which I'm not that sure about, but I think I might put them out anyway. So that's where I'm up to. And if you've been listening to these podcasts, well, thanks for being patient and carrying on with the various offerings. I think there's now over 100 podcasts. I noticed when I looked at the statistics, which is, I don't do that often, but the last time I looked, 60% of our listeners are in the USA, about 30% in the UK, and the rest are there and everywhere. Some in Canada, I've had listeners in Korea, Australia, Italy, I don't know, just all over the place. So if you like what we're offering, tell your friends. We just like to get out there. It's a great thing to be able to have a conversation with the world. It's one of the good things about the tech. I suppose I'd like to mention, just in this general report, that the Cambridge Analytica matter was something I alerted to you well over a year ago, which is only now like it in the news. So you heard it first here, folks. And one or two other things like that, but just blow my own trumpet there a little tiny bit. Anyway, thanks for listening. Speak soon.